The Lord be with you.
If you'd like to be seated.
I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. We also want to say welcome to those who are joining us at home, and we're delighted to have you with us today as we worship God together. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking in particular about encountering the Lord in the ordinary places of life. That's the theme of our service today, as we think about those ordinary places where we might meet with God in our daily lives. You'll have seen the notices on the slide on the way into church today. Most of our regular activities are happening throughout this week. Just wanted to draw attention in particular to Wednesday afternoon, when the ladies' afternoon friendship group are meeting at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And Margaret Rankin is going to be sharing about the impact of COVID-19 on her trip to Australia. That's the theme of the ladies' friendship group on Wednesday afternoon. Our service is next Sunday, our morning prayer at 11 o'clock, evening prayer at 7. And as we begin our worship today, we're going to sing together the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Good morning, and you're very welcome to this service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is a psalm that speaks of hope, hope for God's people and hope for the world. Let's stand together and read Psalm 138. I will give thanks. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. In the day that I called to you, you answered me. You put new strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. The Lord be high, he watches over the lowly. As for the proud, he regards them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will preserve me. You will stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. The Lord shall make good his purpose for me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever, for the sake, not the work of your hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated for our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Just as Isaiah longed to do God's will and to speak for the Lord, we also long for God's presence, and we sing together as the deer pants. As we sit to hear the New Testament reading, if there are any children and young people who haven't yet gone out to Sunday school, now is a good time. Please take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 5th chapter, beginning at the first verse. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to watch a very short and very good video about putting faith into action in everyday life.
The one about Victoria's Secret. What difference does being a Christian bring in our daily lives? In the everyday things we do at home, school, or work? For Victoria, an apprentice hairdresser in a busy salon, this everyday faith question is around washing hair. What difference does being a Christian make to the way you might apply conditioner? The difference is that Victoria prays. She prays as she massages in the conditioner, around things clients might have said, or simply to ask for God's blessing. Find out more.
Let's respond to everything we've heard and sung so far this morning by sharing the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the fifth Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, by whose grace alone we are accepted and called to your service, strengthen us by your Holy Spirit and make us worthy of our calling. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we prepare to reflect on today's reading and on what God might be saying to us, we sing together, "Be Still."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I love to read stories about people encountering and experiencing God in a personal way in their lives. And often these kinds of stories, when I read them, are powerful and dramatic. They're stories that speak about transformation and a whole change of life. On the online Alpha course, for example, which we've been doing as a church over the past couple of years, we hear stories or testimonies of people in that course whose lives were blighted and broken by addiction and violence. We hear stories about people who were involved in things like football hooliganism and crime and even campaigns of genocide. And these are all stories of people who seem about as far away from God as it's possible to be. And somehow, God meets them, and life takes on a whole new meaning. And I'm fortunate enough in my own life to have met some people like that, and maybe that is your experience as you sit here in church today, or maybe if you're sitting at home watching this service. Maybe you've had a very dramatic encounter with Jesus and it has changed your life. But for most people, their encounters with God are much more ordinary and mundane. Maybe they have grown up, in this country in particular, in church. And then when they get a bit older, they left to pursue other interests. Life maybe got busy as they undertook studies or careers, and maybe they settled down. But perhaps even that idea of settling down or having children might have brought people back to the place that they had left all those years ago and encouraged them to explore the life of faith again. In this morning's gospel reading, Jesus meets people who are doing ordinary, mundane things in terms of their work and their daily life. And that's what I want us to think about together for a few moments today. The first thing that I want to say is that very often, interesting things happen to Jesus when he is standing around. And today we're told at the very beginning of our gospel reading, he is just standing around Lake Galilee or Lake Gennesaret, depending on the translation that you use. And elsewhere in the gospels, we hear about Jesus just standing by a well, looking for a drink, when he falls into this amazing conversation with a woman from Samaria. Sometimes as Jesus is standing around, he seems to come alongside people who are confused when they are going for a walk, as he does on the road to Emmaus when he meets two of his disciples who can't understand what has happened after his crucifixion. Other times in the Gospels, we hear of Jesus standing around but meeting people going through the very worst times of their lives with anxiety or sickness, and he just seems to be able to step into those moments with them. Maybe it's the way that he looks at them or the way that he listens to them. Maybe it's the way that he teaches and they hear him share marvelous thoughts or truths. But somehow, things are different for people after those encounters. And in today's gospel, I love the sense of excitement, and it's almost palpable as people crowd around him, eager to hear the word of God as he teaches it. One of the things that I noticed in my own life as faith became more important to me was that I started to take an interest for the first time in the sermon when I went to church services. When I was a teenager in boarding school, like most of my contemporaries, I used to find church really boring. And we had to go, there was no choice. And the sermon for me was always a space where I would kneel forward, put my head in my hands so it looked as if I was praying, and I would take a nap. And then, as I was introduced to ways of applying the Word of God to my everyday life, those teaching slots in services became a way for me about learning more about the Lord who loved me. And as I went on this particular journey, I found that I couldn't get enough of this stuff. And I remember, and it shows my age, I used to borrow cassettes of sermons from a Scripture Union teacher, and I'd be trying to find out more as this kind of stuff really began to grip my heart. Jesus does some teaching in this passage that we hear this morning, and this teaching is important. But I'm more interested this morning in the three individuals who are mentioned in the passage, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John are fishermen, and they're doing the very dull stuff of washing their nets. They're clearing their nets of debris after an unsuccessful night's fishing. I don't know what are the dull tasks in your life. Maybe it's the stuff like unloading the dishwasher, cleaning the house, doing the ironing, sorting through your admin, doing your tax returns. But imagine if doing some of those tasks, Jesus were to come to you at that very point. And what really interests me in this encounter is that Jesus does something really, really strange. He speaks very directly, and he tells a fisherman how to do his job. Now, there are some jobs in which people have strong opinions about how those jobs might be done. We might, for example, all have strong ideas about what politicians should be doing or decisions that they ought to be taking. Or if we're a sports person, from our armchair, we might have very strong views about football management or rugby coaching and what team should be played for a particular game. And indeed, over the years, I've met people who have pretty strong ideas about church leadership as well and what it is that we ought or ought not to be doing. But if we think for a moment that Jesus' background is in carpentry, you'd wonder, what would a carpenter have to teach an experienced fisherman about how to do his job? And what Jesus does is he tells him to go out into the deep waters and to throw down his nets for a catch. Doesn't really sound like rocket science, but Simon's response is very significant. Even though he has been unsuccessful all night doing that very thing, dropping his nets out in the deep water, he says to Jesus, "Because you say so, I will let down the nets." And that's faith in a nutshell, really. Trusting in Jesus, even when rationally it doesn't make all that much sense to do so. Going about our ordinary, everyday life with that simple desire to do it Jesus' way. Just like we heard in our video about Victoria the hairdresser. And even when other people might laugh at us or call us weird or tell us that we're part of something outdated or irrelevant, we all have a choice at that point, just like Peter did. And he chose obedience. And the results were astonishing. So many fish that the nets began to break. Peter needed help from the other boat, and there were still so many fish that the boats were about to sink. And Peter was confronted by the holiness of God and his own sinfulness in that moment, rather like Isaiah was in our Old Testament reading this morning. But he was overwhelmed that God should come to him in the ordinary moment, washing his nets, and confront him with the fact that he is there, that he's holy, and that he wants Peter to reach out and to offer the gospel of hope and peace to other people. He wants Peter to capture the hearts of other men and women with the love of Jesus, so that their lives are never the same again. Sometimes, just like for Jesus, it'll be in ordinary conversations when he's standing around. Sometimes it'll be by the choices that Peter makes when other people see what he does and they think, wonder why he did that. And so I want to ask, as I draw to a close, what about you and me this morning? You wonder, could he meet us here on a very ordinary Sunday morning at morning prayer when we maybe, probably in fact, don't expect anything too much to happen? But could he this morning reach our soul? Could he open our eyes to his presence? Could he even use us as instruments for his glory as we go out and back to our homes and work situations and schools and wherever it is that we might be in this coming week? Could he use us as instruments for his glory? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are the Lord of life, the big moments and the small moments. You're with us through the good and the bad times, and you've promised never to leave us or forsake us as we trust in you. We ask you to open our eyes to see you as we go about our daily lives. Help us to hear you speaking to us through your word, the Bible, through the times that we spend in prayer, through the beauty of the world around us. We want to learn how to be open and how to receive all that you want us to know, and to have the courage to obey and to become the people that you would want us to be. Help us on this journey, we pray. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray for the nations of the world, continuing in particular this morning to pray for peace and stability around the Ukraine and for all involved in negotiations there. May they be given wisdom, diplomacy, and hearts guided and motivated by a search for justice and peace.
We also want to pray especially today for our own land after a week of political upheaval and turmoil. May stability be found and important decisions made that enable a good way forward to be pursued. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray for all our young people today who received AQE results yesterday. We ask that they might know your love and presence with them, regardless of their performance. And may your love and presence be very real, both for those who enjoyed success and for those who experienced disappointment. We pray for all teachers and parents at this time. And we also want to remember in some quieter moments those who are seriously ill at home, in hospitals, hospices, and nursing homes. And we pray too for those who care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So the Lord Jesus was so very present as a guide and as a Lord for Peter and for Isaiah, as he is for us. And let's think how we're going to follow him as a guide this week as we sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's close our service with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.